Just lift your voice and say,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Look like it's gonna be love.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. Thank you so much for joining us for our special Mother's Day edition of the Village Celebration radio show. You know, it's going to be a painful weekend for some mothers as they mourn their children whose lives have been cut short by police. Coming up this hour, we will hear from Maria Hamilton. Her son was shot and killed by police in Milwaukee last year. We are also joined by civil rights attorney Carol Powell Lexing, who argued before the United States Supreme Court a case involving a black man who was killed in a confrontation with a police officer using a taser. You'll want to hear what she has to say about police immunity. And we have a special word, a very special word tonight for mothers from Pastor Philip Pointer, the senior pastor at St. Mark Missionary Baptist Church here in Little Rock. And then we have a very touching tribute written by Douglas Williams from St. Louis. And Douglas is a writer working on some screenplays, and he writes for a couple comedians, but he has written a really moving tribute to our moms. That is all coming up tonight in the Village Celebration, so stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call-up ever as a member of the National Guard.
This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'd like to take 30 seconds to give pickup drivers a brief lesson in rollover physics. It has to do with the vehicle's static stability factor, which is defined as one half the truck width divided by the height of the center of gravity. The larger the factor, the more lateral acceleration required to cause the force of gravity to pass through a vehicle's pivot point. In layman's terms, pickups are twice as likely to roll over than cars. Unfortunately, we can't change the laws of physics, but we can change your odds of survival. Buckle up in your truck.
Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this station.
My wife told me to get a hobby. My doctor told me to exercise. I listened to me. Grow flowers, vegetables, and in my own way, keep an Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and keep Arkansas beautiful.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. This weekend, the moms of young African-American men killed by police will gather in Washington, D.C. for the Million Moms March. Maria Hamilton is the organizer. Her son, Dontre, was shot and killed by a Milwaukee police officer last year. Ms. Hamilton joins us tonight in the Village. Thank you so much for being with us, Ms. Hamilton. I know you are preparing to head to Washington. What do you want Americans to see this weekend when they turn on their TVs and see all of you moms gathered in the nation's capital, bound by grief?
Well, what's more important to me is that we're heard, that the moms' voices are heard. These are some very delicate stories, and I feel as though the world needs to know that this has been going on for years and years and years, and none of our leaders have stepped up and say that they're going to change the policies and the procedures the way we are being policed in the United States. So we're going to tell our story about how children's lives were stolen from us, and we want answers. And after getting answers, we want something done about it.
So this is, if you will, a formal stand demanding changes in police procedures and treatment of African American men in particular.
Absolutely.
You know, you've had a busy week because last week hundreds gathered with you in Milwaukee for a vigil marking the one-year anniversary of Dontre's passing. What were your thoughts as so many gathered to remember your son?
First off, it was really, really hard just accepting the fact that my son's life has brought a community together. It's bringing people out. It's bringing awareness to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing change right here in our city.
Mm-hmm.
Dontre was murdered by Christopher Manning at Red Arrow Park on April 30th. In my life and my family's life, we no longer look at that day as April 30th.
Mm-hmm.
It will be forever with us, Dontre Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it actually, after that day, my life changed. All of my family members' life changed. The way we think, the work that we're doing, and the partnerships and family members that we have gained from Dontre's life and passing on is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel as though Dontre's physical being mm-hmm. was taken as a seed so this work could be done, so we can make the world know that we're not standing for the abuse anymore. We're not going to be... We're not going to keep burying our children mm-hmm. because of racism and profiling.
Mm-hmm. So Dontre joins a list of names: Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, and most recently Freddie Gray. Let's add Walter Scott in there, Tamir Rice, but of course most recently Freddie Gray in Baltimore, whose mother is grieving. Do you see that the
yes.
African-American community as a whole is being changed, would you say?
Most definitely. Where people were scared or didn't have money, living in properties, it was always, you always hear the story about the black-on-black crime, but they're not telling why the black-on-black crime exists. Black-on-black crime is about these poor communities that's implanted in these rich cities that's not putting funding into these communities. These people aren't working. They're out here stealing and shooting people, breaking in people's houses because they can't provide for their family.
Mm-hmm. So it's opened a conversation.
So the fact that Dontre has been added to that list, my heart goes out to all the moms and families of these victims, but we need to heal
mm-hmm.
So we can do the work that's needed so we can get our leaders to start caring about us, because if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't be in the positions that they hold up there on Capitol Hill, in the White House. It's our voice that got them in office. So if they don't want to do the job, we have to get people in those positions that want to work for our communities and for the United States, not just to get a paycheck.
Well, it has been issued. The call to action has been issued, and communities all around the country are responding, just as you say. Let me ask you this.
I can't hear you guys again. Oh, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Miss Hamilton. Okay. The officer who shot and killed your son was fired. Are you satisfied with that decision?
No, I'm not satisfied because by him breaking policies and procedures, the chief was right to take his job for him because it clearly says that he's not responsible of an individual to actually hold that position. But in the same token, he's a man, and he took another man's life, mm-hmm. and he should be held accountable for that. So the DA here worked too close with the Milwaukee Police Department to pursue cases that he has on file and that is going to court. So I don't think he should have been in a position to actually make a judgment whether or not he be charged. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're fighting to make sure that this DA will not in any more police involved shootings have anything to do with the decision whether or not they're indicted.
Well, we appreciate you joining us here in the Village. We are praying for this weekend's march and for your strength,
yes.
and we thank you for your courage.
All right. Thank you so much. It's going to be epic. We're excited about it. I actually really want these moms to start healing. I know from me personally that it's heart-wrenching. But the work that I'm doing and the support that I'm giving these moms, I wouldn't give it up for anything at this mm-hmm. point. So it's going to be my birthday, Saturday. It's going to be the day that I buried Dontre, mm-hmm. May 9th, mm-hmm. and it's Mother's Day weekend. So this is my gift to mothers in the United mm-hmm. States that have lost their loved ones to just senseless killing.
Well, it will certainly be a bittersweet weekend for you, and we are praying that God strengthens you and wipes away every tear. Maria Hamilton, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have more in a moment. This is the Village Celebration Radio Show.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association
and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
Considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Ah, surgery is an option. But did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and UAMS.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Mm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Park Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Strengthening your spirits with food for your soul. It's JoyNet.
thank you for all the work you're doing. And again, we appreciate you. Good evening again, everybody, and welcome back to the Village Celebration. We are glad to have with us tonight civil rights attorney Carol Lexing Powell, whose most recent case involves Victor White. Carol, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's go over the details in the Victor White case, or at least the basics. And Mr. White was in the custody of the police, handcuffed behind his back, when he allegedly shot and killed himself with a gunshot wound to the chest.
That's
You're calling
correct.
It the Houdini handcuff case. It seems virtually impossible
That's
to
correct.
Have done that.
What makes it impossible, he's sitting in the back seat of a police cruiser at the police station, and he's alleged to have shot himself while handcuffed behind the back.
Whose gun?
His chest.
Whose gun was used?
We don't know. That's just it. And right now, the matter is still under investigation. And it's been turned over to the Justice Department. And so we are waiting to see what the findings are going to be.
Against the backdrop of these police-involved killings all around the country, let's just start with Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Walter Scott, most recently Freddie Gray. You have argued before the Supreme Court on a similar case, the Baron Scooter Pikes case. Tell us about that case and what you see needs to happen with the criminal justice system in our country.
Okay. The Baron Scooter Pikes case is a case that the incident happened in 2008, and unfortunately we didn't have videos at that particular time. But nevertheless, Mr. Pipes was a young man, just like you've seen Freddie Gray, they're minding their own business, and all of a sudden they're accosted by the police, and then they end up dead. Well, Mr. Pipes was tasered 9 times while he was handcuffed in the back seat. Well, not necessarily in the back seat, but he was handcuffed, lying face down in a prone position on the ground. And they tasered him 9 times between the time they got him off the ground to take him to the police station. This is kind of a long story, but nevertheless, it's a case involving excessive force by police officers. This young man died 2 weeks short of his 21st birthday, which was a travesty because you had a police officer who basically did not value the life of this young man. This young man, and I'm going to say this before, Eric Garner was also saying, "I can't breathe." Mm-hmm. And what made the matter worse is that the police station is across the street from the hospital down in a little place called Winfield, Louisiana, and the young man is telling them all along he can't breathe to take him to the hospital.
And it's
and
right across
the
street.
They take him to the police station. They shackle him up. He's pleading for his life, like, "Take me to the hospital. I'm dying." He keeps falling out of a chair. Now, we do have a video as it relates to when they got in the police station. The police officers filmed themselves at that point, and that's the point we were able to see him sitting shackled in the chair, falling out, pleading, saying, "Please, I can't breathe, take me to the hospital," while the police officers are shouting rude and explicit toward him and trying to make him confess to something that actually he hadn't done. And need I say, he started foaming at the mouth, and at that particular time is when the police decided they wanted to get him some assistance, and by that time, he died. But those are the type of things that we're seeing now because of videos, those type of actions that's been going on for eons. But now, thank God to cell phone cameras, we're able to allow the public to see what's been going on, because 9 times out of 10, most people have always sided with the police. But now we're getting an opportunity to see that some of the actions of the police are abusive and excessive, and that's what we've been seeing since last year with Michael Brown, all the way up most recently to the Freddie Gray case here. Policing, we have to have a total overhaul of the system. because of what's been going on. And I am so glad that we do have a prosecutor in Baltimore that seems to be dispensing justice for everybody. She has not decided that she was going to cater to the police, and she hasn't decided she was going to cater to the family. She's walking the line that she needs to, the justice line, to make sure justice is ensured for everybody. And we haven't seen that. And we have not seen that. And that's why she's getting so much criticism, because normally the prosecution walks hand in hand with the police officers, and it's been so hard for them to bring suits against the people that they work with and that they befriend. That's why you've heard, well, we want independent prosecutors. I'm an advocate of independent prosecutors because they are very much needed when you when police actions are questionable, especially in the areas that you are. It's kind of hard for the prosecutor to bring an action against the person that they're working with. But now we're seeing what's interesting with me about the Baltimore case is that they're crying, that the police are crying they want an independent prosecutor when the prosecutor's always been their friend. But thank God that Ms. Mosby is showing them, which everyone should take note of throughout the country, that this is the way justice should be administered so that everyone can have an equal, you know, an equal opportunity or an equal display of justice when they get to court.
Carol.
By not allowing police officers to have free rein and let them go when we know that they're wrong.
Marilyn Mosby is certainly courageous and has taken a rather unusual stand. We saw in the Michael Brown case where there were calls for an independent prosecutor. In the Dontre Hamilton case, there were also questions about the need for a prosecutor not so closely aligned with police. And like you're saying, we are seeing this all over the country. But when it comes to police, and you argued this before the Supreme Court, there's this matter of immunity, the immunity clause, and that's what a lot of police officers stand on when they take a life.
Yeah, that's precisely, if by the grace of God you are able to get a prosecutor to institute charges or take it before the grand jury, and the grand jury comes back with an indictment, then you have to fight the police officer attorney who has privity to a law called immunity. Now, it doesn't always, they don't always, but nine times out of ten, they've been able to get off on immunity and claim that the acts that they did, they're immune from their acts. But yeah, I was blessed by the grace of God last year to win a victory with the United States Supreme Court in that Baron Scooter Pipes case against the police officer who was crying immunity. We won, and now he has to be held accountable for his actions. And let me just tell you, the prosecutor in that case, we put pressure on that prosecutor to the point where he did take it to the grand jury. He got an indictment, but guess what?
What?
He did not zealously prosecute that case the way he would have if it was just a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we saw that in the Trayvon Martin's case when the Angela Corey in her office out in Florida, they did not zealously prosecute that case the way they normally would if it had not been a police officer.
So let me see if I'm following you.
So that's what you get. It's always something to push back. That's what we've been getting, but I thank God that change is coming. And change is here.
And so even if the prosecutor files charges, you're saying he or she may not deep down feel that the charges are merited, and that is reflected in the presentation of the evidence.
Absolutely. You hit it on the head.
Let's talk about videotape, because you've mentioned it. It is irrefutable, and it is making a difference in some cases. Walter Scott, for example, it didn't seem to make a difference in the Eric Garner case, but the Walter Scott case, the Tamir Rice case, the verdict is still out on that. But when there is a videotape, and there's not one in the case of Victor White, what does the attorney do?
Well, the attorney do what we've been doing for years. We go forth and we make sure we got all of our evidence. I normally conduct a parallel investigation to make sure I have all the evidence that I need so that I can either get with that prosecutor and mainly try to encourage them. I get my community leaders. I get everyone to assist in making sure that that family has justice. Mm-hmm. You have to remember the prosecutor is an elected official that works for the people. That person is a public servant. Mm-hmm. And by being a public servant, the public needs to hold that person accountable for making sure that justice is served for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's the role that the protests play, and those who are willing to walk peacefully in lock, in step with the law. That's the value of the protests we are seeing. These are elected officials.
Correct. And for some reason, people are not understanding that they do put these people in office, and mm-hmm. they are held accountable to all the people, not just one segment of the community, but to all.
Mm-hmm. Well, we sure do appreciate you joining us tonight here in the Village to talk about a subject that, as you pointed out, and Dontre Hamilton's mother pointed out in an earlier interview, these killings have occurred for years, but with the prevalence of videotape, we are starting to see just how many lives are taken unjustly. Carol Powell Lexing, thank you for all the work you're doing. And again, we appreciate you.
And thank you for having me.
There is much more still ahead tonight in the Village Celebration. All around the world, mothers have called out to God on behalf of their children. Coming up, a special word for mothers from Pastor Philip Pointer. Stay with us.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Mm. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah?
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state parks, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
You know, Maya, you're really good in the sciences, and you're good with people also. Have you ever considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Ah, surgery is an option. But did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and UAMS.
Good evening again, everyone, and welcome back to the Village Celebration. We have Pastor Philip Pointer of St. Mark Baptist Church here in Little Rock joining us in the Village with our Village Verse. And I have to say, Pastor Pointer, I enjoy your message on Sundays. I'm a member of St. Mark, and so it is such a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, it's my joy to be here, and it's my singular honor to share with the audience today.
Please tell us what verse you are sharing with us today.
Well, there's a word of scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 22, about a conversation with Jesus, between Jesus and a Canaanite woman. The text says, just then a Canaanite woman from that region came up, came and kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon."
Mm. Wow. This is so powerful, especially with Mother's Day just a matter of days from now. The cry of a mother. Tell us what this text means for all of us who are followers of Jesus, and particularly for mothers.
Certainly. You know, it's the poet Mona Lake Jones, who's speaking about the difficulty and plight of mothers, especially of the African-American persuasion. She says, being a mother of a black child ain't no easy thing. You've got to call on Jesus and listen to the angels sing.
Mm.
And I think that's what we get in this text from a woman who is seeking a solution for a very troubled child. The text says that the child is tormented by a demon, which is a spiritual issue. But I think that most mothers, especially in these times, can relate to perhaps not a spiritual, but perhaps a psychological, emotional issue, perhaps even an educational issue.
Mm-hmm.
And some deal with physical issues with their children that they themselves, despite their love, their concern, their desire to see their child live the best kind of life, they just feel like the issue is beyond their power to resolve.
Mm-hmm.
The text tells us that mothers who love their children and at times feel powerless by the issues that plague them can and should cry out to Jesus Christ.
And it seems that the cry of a mother really does touch God's heart, more so than other
Absolutely.
Cries. Is that fair to say or to assume, Pastor Pointer?
I will say that our God has a special concern and gives a special level of attentiveness to a mother's cry.
Mm-hmm.
One of the wonderful descriptives about our God in the Hebrew Bible is that he's called El Shaddai, or God is called El Shaddai,
mm-hmm.
Which we often interpret to mean God is more than enough or more than sufficient. But the literal rendering of El Shaddai is the many-breasted one. It speaks of God having the same maternal instincts that he places into our natural mothers. It means that God hears our cries and responds to our cries much in the way our mothers have and do hear and respond to our cries. The wonderful difference is that while our natural mothers have limited resources and limited mm-hmm. ability, limited power, our God has unlimited resources, unlimited ability, and unlimited power. And so he hears the cries of mothers who feel like they are powerless to do what needs to be done for their children, but he doesn't just hear, he answers, and he comes to their aid and gives them what they need to both endure and to overcome whatever may be plaguing their children.
You know, so much has been made of the mother in Baltimore who was seen,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of giving her son a couple of knocks on the head to get him back in line, some say it was too violent. Whatever the interpretation of her actions, you have to believe that it was rooted and grounded in love and extreme concern for his well-being.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that this Matthew 15 story in its fullness teaches us, as we see lived out in the mother in Baltimore, who, by the way, you know, the Bible says that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child.
Mm-hmm.
But we see a mother's desperation.
Yes.
To see her son, in that case, and in this case of the scripture, a daughter brought into the fullness of what God would have them to be. That mother in Baltimore for whatever persons may want to say, her act of discipline was really an act of protection as much as it was an act of correction. Certainly that mother reached out and touched that child, but we would rather see a parent who has love for the child do that than perhaps an officer who does not have any love or concern for the child to do that. We'd rather a parent to discipline the child than to have our court system have to discipline the child. I think everyone can agree with that. And so it's a matter of desperate love, that desire to correct, but more than just correct in the moment, to protect that child in the days and moments to come.
And I think that's what most of us saw, protection, an act of protection. I want to just explore this and learn more about the maternal instinct that you say God has for us, so that when we do cry out to Him in distress and despair and anguish, it touches His heart like it would a mother's.
Sure, sure. I remember a great story of an evangelist who was doing a radio, or rather a television broadcast, and he was seated in the chair, and the person who was prepping him for the broadcast had just had a baby. At that time, Stevie Wonder's song, Isn't She Lovely, had just come out. And they began to play that song, and the young lady who was preparing him for the broadcast said and remarked, and I quote here, "That makes my milk come down." The beginning of Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder has a baby's cry. It was written at the birth of his son. Just hearing the baby cry caused in her body a biological reflex reaction that she had no control over. Hearing the baby's cry made her instinct kick in to want to feed and nurture and take care of that baby. I believe that is the same kind of thing that happens when God hears His children cry. And when God hears of a mother crying out to Him, I believe there is a love and compassion instinct inherent in the character and nature of God that causes God to want to nurture and protect and love and care for us.
Amen. Pastor Philip Porner from St. Mark Baptist Church here in Little Rock, thank you so much for joining us with the beautiful message about the love of a mother and the love of our God. Happy Mother's Day to your mom, and thank you again.
Happy Mother's Day, mothers.
And we'll be right back.
I'd like to take 30 seconds to give pickup drivers a brief lesson in rollover physics. It has to do with a vehicle's static stability factor, which is defined as one-half the truck width divided by the height of the center of gravity. The larger the factor, the more lateral acceleration required to cause the force of gravity to pass through a vehicle's pivot point. In layman's terms, pickups are twice as likely to roll over than cars. Unfortunately, we can't change the laws of physics, but we can change your odds of survival. Buckle up in your truck.
Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this station.
From the Ozark Mountains to Old Man River, Arkansas's 52 state parks belong to all of us to experience, to enjoy, to remember.
Our family stayed in the Mountain Lodge at Pettigene for the holiday, and no one had to cook. We ate in the lodge. Oh, the view over the canyon. Oh, and those huge fireplaces. Oh, the chocolate pies.
I remember going to the lodge on the Gray Lake. The park naturalist took us out on a boat, but we'd never seen an eagle in the wild before, and we saw five that day.
The cabin at Devil's Den when it snowed. We went hiking. It was so beautiful. And then we found that journal in the cabin, and we sat by the fire and read stories that the other guests had written. I'll never forget that.
The State Parks of Arkansas. Call 1-888-AT-PARKS for a free guidebook, or visit ArkansasStateParks.com. Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Ooh. Good evening. How are you doing tonight? Thank you for joining us here in the Village for the Village Celebration Radio Show. We are really glad you're with us as always. Let's talk about our health right now. Joining us tonight is our Village doctor, Dr. Dye. Dr. Dye, thank you for being with us. You know, today I had a chance to go to a luncheon sponsored by the American Heart Association, and Star Jones was the guest speaker, and she had some pretty startling statistics about African-American women and heart health.
Hi, Vicki. Well, thank you for asking me to join you. Tell me what you want to know.
This is what shocked me perhaps the most. Heart disease is the number one killer of African-American women?
Well, heart disease is the number one killer of all people, first of all, women and men. And when you look at the statistics for African Americans, especially women, yes, it is the number one killer, even above cancer. Most people think that they will die of some type of cancer. Well, heart disease wins the race.
You know, Dr. Dye, we have this online in thevillagecelebration.com where Star shared, and you're saying, of course, the same thing, you're the expert here, that combine all the cancers and they don't kill as many African-American women as heart disease does. I think that is staggering, and I think it surprises most of us.
That is, it is surprising because we usually think, I think we have the fear of the unknown. The most important thing or the most interesting thing to me about heart disease is that it ties into what we talked about last week. It's kind of knowing your history and then also knowing your numbers. So heart disease, while it is alarmingly high, the death rate, there are things that we can do to help prevent it.
When we talk about heart disease, and Star Jones shared this in her presentation today, and she said, and I'm paraphrasing, that a lack of discipline, a sedentary lifestyle, coupled with this family history, really set her up for the need to have open heart surgery.
Absolutely, absolutely. We get so busy in our lives with trying to just survive, you know, working and getting an income, that we forget that we've got to take care of ourselves. So some of the major factors that can lead to heart disease are controlling your blood pressure. If you have diabetes, you want to get that under control. Lack of exercise. Once we're past high school, and sometimes now even before middle and high school, we don't exercise enough. Obesity. We know that obesity in the United States is rising, particularly in our children. Those are major things that we can kind of control to help prevent heart disease.
When we talk about exercise, let's just go right ahead and jump into it feet first. One of the challenges to exercising was, what about my hair? You know, what's going to happen to my hair? You know, my edge is going to start curling up and all of that. But we really have to look beyond how cute we want to be and consider our heart health.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we don't have a lot of statistics exactly to show how much exercise helps, but we do know that what it does do, number one, it's going to build that muscle. It's going to improve that heart muscle. Plus, it also improves your muscle function. And if you improve your muscle function, you will increase your metabolism. You increase your metabolism. You decrease your chance of becoming obese. So just staying active. As far as the hair is concerned, you can wash it. But once you get heart disease, that's a lot of repair. So it's easier to wash your hair than to go in there and repair that heart.
Absolutely. So get that heart pumping. I mean, it's a muscle, and if you just keep the body working like a machine, is that what I hear? 10,000 steps a day?
That is exactly what you're hearing. That's what you're hearing. It's a battery that we're born with, and our job is to keep it going for as long as we can.
I like that. It's a battery that we're born with. I mean, that makes it a little more objective. You know, it brings some objectivity to it. I got to keep my battery going. And then it's what we feed ourselves, you know, what we put in our bodies. At the luncheon today, I thought, oh, wow, it's just so cute. It was a little bit of chicken, a little bit of lettuce, and for dessert, it was some type of pudding with berries. Now, I would have preferred a big slice of chocolate cake, but, you know, this was a Heart Association luncheon, and that's really important, isn't
it? Well, that's true. If you follow the DASH diet that the American Heart Association recommends, you'll find that that diet is going to be really low in fat, and it's going to be low in saturated fat, low in salt. And lowering the saturated fats will help to decrease your cholesterol. And cholesterol, if it's really elevated, and particularly if you have a family history, can lead to the plaque formation that you get in the arteries in your heart. And you get that plaque formation, then what happens is that you're stopping the blood flow, decreasing the blood flow. And the blood is the major supplier of oxygen to just about everything, to the heart and to other organs in the body. So you want to make sure that your diet is all rich in vegetables and in fruits. And like I said, low salt, low fat.
Two-thirds of the plate, veggies?
Two-thirds of the plate, veggies. The new food pyramid is a great guide to use if you want to know. They did revise it a little bit. So a lot of people are always concerned about an overabundance of carbohydrates. But in the new food pyramid, it's a little bit better, and it gives you a pretty good idea of just how much of each food group we need.
So when we talk about this new food pyramid, some of that, or much of that, might include retraining the palate.
Mm-hmm. That's right. If you're used to, for example, an intake of a lot of salt, if you take some patients and you ask them to write down the things that they eat on a daily basis, what you will find is that most of the foods that they eat are heavily seasoned with salt. And so a lot of my patients, I'll say, well, do you eat a lot of salt? Well, no, I don't eat a lot of salt. But then they say, but I use Tony Sachets or I use Seasonal. Mm-hmm. And those things all have salt in them. Okay. So you really have to kind of get into a patient's head and have them break down exactly what they're eating. And then from there, you can say, well, this is how much sodium is in it. Or they can do it. You know, there are lots of applications now on the internet where they can go in, put down their daily consumption, and it will give them the number of calories they're consuming plus the number or how much sodium they're consuming.
So it's the salt that's really doing us in. What about sugar? Because that's my weakness. Last night I needed some chocolate in my life so bad that I was sitting on the sofa. I know I should have been doing something active. I got up and baked brownies.
So,
something chocolate.
You know, sugar, yes, there are problems with sugar. But again, everything is in balance. You know, you're going to need some carbohydrates to fuel your body. And so you have to figure out which carbs are going to be good carbs, which carbs are going to be bad carbs. So your sugar intake should be in the form of a healthy piece of fruit that your body will be able to use instead of that half pint of ice cream.
Yeah, if I had ice cream last night, I would have added it to the brownies, but I didn't have any in the freezer. One more thing.
And I'm not saying that you cannot have your ice cream every now and then, but you want to, you know, get enough that you're satisfied. Well, I shouldn't say it like that. Take a little bit to satisfy the craving, and then exercise so that you're able to indulge every now and then.
You know, I said I needed the treadmill last night, but I never quite made it. I did not, but I, you know, I can try again tonight. You know, one of the things that Star Jones also said was that African American women suffer from hypertension at a 50% rate greater than white women. I'm not sure I phrased that well, but we are 50% more likely to suffer from
this
hypertension.
We do have more high blood pressure than any other group of people, and we are more likely to die from the problems associated with high blood pressure.
You know,
again, that's multifactorial. It could be family history. It could be sedentary lifestyle. It could be lack of access to care. So there are lots of reasons that we die more, and lots of reasons that we have it more. The most important thing is getting to your primary care doctor and figuring out what number is your number for high blood pressure. That depends on whether or not you have comorbid or other disease processes. The standard has always been the top number 140, the bottom number 90. You want to get less than that in order to prevent heart disease. But again, you'll talk to your doctor individually, and then that way they can tell you what numbers fit you, because for diabetes, we may want to get those numbers a little bit lower. But lack of access of care and knowing just what your numbers are, big problem. High blood pressure, you can walk around for years with it, and it's why we call it the silent killer. Most people don't even get their blood pressure checked. So by the time they get to us, or their primary care doctor, the numbers are high, and not only are they high, but they've also done their damage. They've done their damage to your organs, your heart, your kidneys are just two of the examples I can use right now. And we end up more on dialysis. We end up with more with loss of function from heart failure. So knowing your numbers, important.
It's important that we save our lives, isn't it? That we save
Absolutely.
Our own lives. While we're worried about everyone else, we also need to save our own lives. And one other thing that Star Jones said was, when a black woman says, "You are on my last nerve, worrying me to death," that is true, literally, not just figuratively, but it's actually literal, isn't it?
That is, it is in peril. And as a matter of fact, if someone's telling you you're getting on their last nerve, it's probably because you are, and that in itself can cause stress. And undue stress may increase those numbers as well.
All right. Well, as we celebrate Mother's Day, let's make it a wonderful weekend for all of the mothers in our lives, and let's encourage each other to take better care of ourselves. Dr. Dye, thank
Absolutely.
You for joining us. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, and happy Mother's Day back.
Thank
you.
Love
to you.
We'll be right back, everybody. Stay with us.
No, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah?
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state park, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
No, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah?
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state park, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Before we wrap up tonight, we want to wish all of the mothers a very happy Mother's Day. That's from all of us here in the village. You know, Hallmark writes greeting cards for our mothers. Some of us write poems, songs, and tributes. Douglas Williams writes short stories. Now, he's a little bit on the shy side, so he declined to join us tonight to read his short story. So I read it for him. It's entitled, Hashtag Black Mama Burden. An explosion of thunder spit veins of lightning through splatters of gray clouds from which torrential rain hammered down upon the aged roof of a tiny brick abode. Shirley Chisholm had proclaimed her presidential candidacy when Jolene and her late husband, Johnny Sr., a machinist, had pinched pennies to purchase the abode in the Soul section of St. Louis. After 56 years of life, 32 years of loving Jolene, and too many years of tiptoeing through the social minefield that had become the new Jim Crow, Johnny Sr. had had clutched his chest and toppled over while sitting in front of a news report that warned of President Reagan's war on drugs. On this gloomy evening, Jolene sat on the sofa in the living room, sliding a highlighter across a wrinkled page in a well-worn Bible. A sudden banging on the door turned her head. She pushed her aching new hips up from the sofa, and then she hobbled her diminutive frame over to the door for a peek into the peephole. There stood her portly son, Johnny Jr., wearing a grimace that she identified as his dominant gene. According to her, the boy was a belly tyrant who had stirred her awake for 9 months back when Johnny Sr. had stepped out to pool halls and hole in the walls. She opened the door. Johnny Jr. stomped past her, pitching a fit and cradling what appeared to be a large cake box. She hadn't seen him this way since the day he had gone upside a suitor's head with the patent leather loafer during a spat over an ingenue for whom Johnny Jr. had wiggled into a prom suit. After a few months of the boy sobbing over the ingenue, Jolene worked her maternal magic on his battered heart, and then he had climbed out of bed, picked his afro, and begged his father for an earth, wind, and fire ticket. Johnny Jr. set the cake box on the coffee table, and then he ranted, "They pull guns on me, talk to me any old kind of way. I'm finna turn 50. I'm a grown man." "Hold your horses. I need to hear it good," Jolene said, hobbling over to lead him to the sofa. "Sit down. Calm down. Tell me what happened," she said beside him as he settled down. "I'm driving down the street. Next thing I know, police lights in the mirror. I pulled over right away. They hopped out, yelling for me to get out with my hands up. Guns pointed at me, Mama. I just knew I was finna be a hashtag." Jolene pursed her lips and leaned back with recall of the night when Johnny Sr. had burst into the door in a rage after taking billy club swats to the head. "It's all behind you and in front of the Lord now," she said. "I don't want to end up a hashtag like Walter Scott, Eric Garner, Mike Brown, Tamir Rice, Akee Gurley, Ezell Ford, Dante Parker, John Crawford, Tyree Woodson, or Yvette Smith. Something's got to give," Johnny Jr. said. "What's a hashtag?" she asked. "It's the number sign they put in front of your name on the internet, Twitter, after you've been killed, or, to let the law tell it, killed yourself." "I'm better than a hashtag, greater than an algorithm, Mama. I breathe and feel and fuss and fight the urge to go Negro Rambo. These people are spirit molesters, soul snipers." Jolene pushed up from the sofa. "The Lord saw to it that you were able to walk away from them, but they'll never be able to walk away from who they are. Come get some of these neck bones and turnips for your family. What's in the box?" He arose from the sofa and presented her with the box. She opened the box, and there inside was a church lady's hat, as Johnny Sr. called it when he urged a young Jolene to save something for later in life. The ocean blue, wavy-brimmed hat was exquisitely appointed with floral adornments and glistening pins. She pulled the hat over her silver, shoulder-length mane, and then she unleashed a smile that illuminated the room. "I apologize for bringing the drama over here. Happy Mother's Day," Johnny Jr. said. She hobbled over with the hat on her head, pulled him into a maternal embrace, turned him loose, peering into his eyes, and then she said, "All I care about is that you live long enough to lay flowers on top of me. I love you, son." Johnny Jr. gave her youthful eyes that never grow old. "I love you too, Mama."
Joy Network.